This is the SB Live Washington podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live. With me now is the host of the ISO, Dan Dickow. Get it wherever you get podcasts, as well as this one as well. We're going to talk Kamis's John Eagle leaving for Portland State. We're going to talk O'Day's Seattle Prep hoops in the Metro League title. And we're going to talk about three hoopers who made the biggest jumps in the prolonged offseason across the state. And finally, Ingram's junior breakout star, Dennis Kadirich. He might be the Metro League's most improved player this year. He's had a great season. He joins me later on, so stick around for that. But Dan, the ISO is still humming along. High school basketball is still being played in June. It's another twist on a weird year, but how are you?
Things are good. You know, we had a crazy hot spell in Spokane about a week or so ago, where it was 95, 97. Now it's like 60 and cool these last couple of days. So, you know, it does make it feel a little bit like basketball season, even though we're in the middle of June and a lot of leagues and teams are wrapping up, which I know you and Todd are doing a tremendous job of covering. But all in all, you know, I'm excited. The ISO's set to release a couple of really good conversations coming up in the next short bit. Chris Johnson, who was part of UCLA's 95 title team, his dad, Marcus Johnson, is well known for playing for UCLA as well. He's got some great stories. Brent Stover, one of CBS Sports Network's great hosts back in New York. And then there's a number of other guests that I'm working on scheduling out in this next week or so for releases in the next couple of weeks. So things are going well on that front. But all in all, you know, with what we do with SB Live, the coverage that you and Todd in particular are providing in Washington has been really fun to follow over the last couple of weeks, because it seems like it's just coming at a breakneck speed, and there's something new and interesting to keep up with every day.
Well, your podcast, of course, is the ISO. It's on the Believe Podcast Network, as well as SB Live Sports. You can get that wherever you get podcasts. I co-sign everything you said. There's been a lot of great episodes in the last couple of weeks that span a wide range of topics, mostly in the basketball world. But yeah, you're right. Todd and I, if you guys, the listener, follow along with SB Live's coverage on social or frequent the site or have the SB Live Sports app, you know that Todd and I just got back from a five-day road trip throughout the state. It's obviously a weird year from a coverage standpoint. You know, it feels like every year for us builds up to a state culminating event. And this year there isn't that, but that doesn't mean that there's nothing to play for. And we've tried to kind of go pocket by pocket across the state and talk to athletes really about what this season means. And it turns out, you know, there's tons of compelling storylines. And, you know, it was funny. We ended our week last week in Spokane. We started in, you know, Prosser, Walla Walla, worked our way through. And we covered three games. Well, I should say like five games, including girls, those last 2 days in Spokane. And, you know, we're planning our week around these games. And it just so turns out, luck broke our way, that the best player on the floor in our last three games was like a late scratch and was hurt. And so we're sitting there going, oh, man, you know, we wish we could have seen this team at full strength. But as St. George proved by starting an eighth grader who absolutely went off against Liberty, there's always tons of great storylines, tons of athletes who are just waiting for their shot. And that's kind of what makes high school sports so fun. So,
yeah. And that's, you know, that's part of the intrigue and the excitement about high school sports, right? I mean, you mentioned an eighth grader playing on for St. George and having a, you know, kind of a breakout game. Well, you know, rightfully so, you guys and we cover the bigger schools across the state because they've got tremendous players. But, you know, at the smaller levels, like the B schools that you mentioned with St. George's, there's great storylines there. And you guys do a great job of kind of digging those out, discovering them and sharing in the right way, because regardless of classification across the state, there are great storylines that need to be shared, and you guys continue to do that.
Shout out Sean Jones, the name of that eighth grader at St. George's. Shout out Ryan Poplinski too for having us out there, and Chris Colvin at Liberty and the Colvins for putting on a show. Some football news though is the big news of the week down in your native land, Dan, Southwest Washington. This week, Camas football coach John Eagle announced that he's leaving the high school ranks after 30 plus years to join Bruce Barnum's staff at Portland State as an assistant on the offensive side of the ball. Eagle, of course, is one of the most winningest and successful coaches, active coaches in the state of Washington. Camas is the defending 4A state champion. His two state championships as a head coach, he's been a part of three, have been in 2016, 2019. And he's really got those paper makers well-oiled from the ground up. The program infrastructure he has built over his 17 years there and making the jump to the college ranks, you know, that's something that it became clear that Barnum at Portland State, who also is a Vancouver guy, has been able to admire John Eagle and what he does at Camas from the opposing side. His kids played at Skyview. He watched the way that Eagle meticulously picked apart defenses, including, I think, against his sons. And now he's saying that, hey, I want some of that flavor on my staff in college. Dan, what makes a high school coach who has succeeded so at such a high level at the high school level, such an intriguing candidate for a college coach? What can they contribute to a college staff?
Well, I love hearing stories like this. You know, I don't know Coach Eagle personally. Knowing that I'm from the Vancouver area, I've heard a lot of tremendous stories about the impact that he's had, not just, you know, win losses, which obviously you shared a couple state titles. You know, but the fact that he's a great mentor to those kids, I think a lot of people that don't follow maybe or understand the impact that high school coaches can have or how good some high school coaches have will be shocked by this. But I think a lot of people that are really in the know in athletics, regardless of sport, understand and know that there are tremendous high school coaches in many sports across the country that are simply coaching at the high school level because that's what they feel their calling is. Maybe that's where their first opportunity is. Maybe they don't want to get into the quote unquote business of sports by being at the college or professional level where, you know, you're tied to possibly moving every couple of years. You know, a great example on the basketball side is Nate Oates at Alabama. 8 years ago, Nate Oates was a high school coach in the Detroit area at Romulus High School. And then Bobby Hurley had him become an assistant at Buffalo. He then took over at Buffalo, and now he's one of the best coaches in college basketball at Alabama, you know, that is looking to overtake Kentucky as a SEC power. So with this opportunity for Coach Eagle, I'm not surprised because the really good college coaches who are out there forming a staff, they don't care where their coaches come from. They care about their knowledge and passion for their game. They care about the impact that their coaching staff can have on the field, but also off the field for their players. And so in hearing, you know, that news and knowing just a little bit about him, again, not knowing him directly, it's not a surprise at all. And I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah, I should mention that news came just days after Portland State's men's basketball program. Head coach Jace Coburn, who's a recent guest on the ISO, he added Garfield assistant Jamal Williams to his staff. And so another high school coach at the same school in Washington, just making the jump to that level. Of course, Jamal Williams had a good career playing at UW with Brandon Roy. He's won and been a part of several state title runs at the high school level, at Nathan Hale and Garfield. And so just another example of that. But the basketball season wears on. This week is the culminating event for the Metro League. The Metro League kind of bookended the football season. It's not going to be the last league to do it, have their playoff this year. But it's going to be one of them. And we have the table's been set. We have on the boys' side, we have Seattle Prep will play at O'Day at Seattle Pacific. That's going to be Friday at 7:30. I'm really looking forward to that matchup because, you know, you have a Seattle Prep team that, you know, we all knew going into the season, you brought pretty much everybody back last year. They have a group that plays really well together. They're well coached under Mike Kelly. And we expected them to be in that conversation. Now with COVID, with the opt-outs, with everything, you know, O'Day, they suit up, they're down Paolo Banchero, who just moved in at Duke, and they're down John Christofilos, who's headed to Creighton. Their two best players, you know, perhaps the two of the best players in the Metro League are out. That being said, they still have a lot of players, a lot of pieces that wanted to prove that, hey, that's not the end of us. And they've got a coach who understands how to succeed at a really high level in Jason Kerr. But O'Day enters this week as, you know, I think they have to enter the favorite against Prep. I think they're playing really, really well, and I'm looking forward to being at that game covering. But Dan, just to see O'Day do it without two stars, what does that say about Coach Kerr and what they've got going on there?
Well, I'm not surprised. Granted, Banchero and Christofilos are huge deductions from that roster. Everybody knows that. There's no getting around that. I think the big thing is, you know, when you talk about great high school basketball coaches, similar to John Eagle with football in Camas that we just touched on, is, you know, there's a culture that is built, and I hate using that word culture because it's such a buzzword right now, but there's an expectation around great programs about no one player is bigger than the program. There's expectations built around we do things the right way, and that's offensively, they're going to have certain characteristics that they play to. Yes, if a Banchero or a Christofilos are playing at that time, there's going to be certain things that they tend to try to do more often than others, but there's going to be an expectation on how they play. There's going to be an expectation on the defensive end for the effort, the attention to detail, and the things that they're going to do. And then there's going to be the expectation that you're going to play hard and you're going to play together as a team and you're going to put team above self. And I think that's that is what you're seeing with a program like O'Day when you lose your two quote unquote stars, yet you still keep playing very well. You know, it's given other guys a chance, you know, to kind of showcase their skills and make the most of their opportunity. And those kids are going out and doing just that, making the most of it. So it's fun to see. And you got to give a lot of credit to the culture, again, is the word I'm using, but the standard that has been set, not just from Coach Kerr, but from the previous kids that have come through that program, as well as I think the parents need a lot of credit in that situation, because, you know, if you're going to a private school, like that, you have to buy into the expectations that are around the program, and many times that's hard for kids and or parents, because there are a lot of hovering parents these days in high school and youth sports to allow their kids to be coached and held accountable to create that level of success and sustain that success.
Absolutely. O'Day's led by two guards, very good guards in Takeo Staten Sylvester, who had 19 against Ingram in the state in the Metro semis. Jalen Ellis, point guard, who was a big part of last year's team, he's stepped into a bigger role. And Max DeBeck, who's going to hear his name called in the MLB draft, stands at about 6'7", moves the ball really, really well out of the post. And you're just seeing players like that step up. So look forward to seeing how that Metro League title game shakes up on the boys' side. I mentioned Ingram. They've got perhaps the most intriguing emerging player in the Metro League in Dennis Kadirich. He joins me next, but before we get out of here and jump to that interview, Dan, there's been a lot of basketball players at the high school level across this state who have waited for 14, 15 months to showcase and to really prove that they've made a jump. Who is one player across this state? We'll each do one. Who's one player that's really impressed you with their ability and just the player they are this year in this shortened spring season versus 15 months ago?
I love the spotlight you're putting on the young man from Ingram, Kadirich. That's a great story, you know, because when I was putting together those top 25 kind of player evaluations late last summer, early fall, you know, I talked to high school coaches and AAU coaches throughout the state, and not a single coach mentioned that young man. So obviously he had a belief in himself. He had a work ethic to kind of put in the work to now be a impact player in the Metro, and good for him. I love seeing those stories. But the young man that I'm going to spotlight is Tyler Bilodeau from Kamaiken. You know, I got a lot of flack for putting him as high as I did in my player evaluations. But, you know, the hard part about it is very few people have the ability to see everybody across the state. And so in doing that, you have to talk to a number of people, both high school and AAU coaches, that have seen as many players as possible, and doing it without a slanted viewpoint of, hey, he plays for my AAU team, or he plays for my high school team. And so in talking to a few people, people said, hey, this kid has got a big time chance. And nobody had really seen anybody, obviously, throughout, you know, the COVID condensed AAU scene. And talking to other people that are close to him, is like, look, the kid has grown. He's put on size. He's been he's done everything he can to take advantage of his opportunities in the COVID, you know, issues. When the season starts, he's going to be impressive. And so, you know, the people that I talked to, I trusted. And, you know, I really kind of took it to heart. And I said, you know what, that's the kind of young man that I, from what I know, I believe in. And I saw some clips that made me feel the same way. And, you know, like I said, people gave me some flack for it, but I stuck to my choice. And it's been awesome to see this young man really play well this year. Brian Manili, the head coach, I know he was part of our media day. I know you guys went down and watched them play a week or so ago. You know, he was incredibly high on him, and he really likes his ceiling, his future. So Tyler Bilodeau is the player that I'm going to kind of really say that he's made the jump that has surprised people. But, you know, it hasn't been maybe as surprising based on the conversations with some people that I had last summer and fall.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dan, he sure surprised some MCC coaches. So I got to give you credit there with that foresight. Went out and saw Bilodeau play, and you know, he's up 4 inches. He's packed on 25 pounds, and really kind of spent the time, you know, growing when nobody was watching. And the ways that the skills that he had to learn to play the three as a kind of a skinny, lanky, you know, shorter player as a sophomore, those are all bearing out, and really a huge advantage to him now as he's become a little bit of a matchup nightmare. So. I wrote a story on him out there. I'll link it in the show notes. And Dan, you get the credit for that choice as well. Mine is another guy on the eastern side of the state, but this time in the GSL. I got a chance to see him on Saturday. It was a blowout. It was against the team who's last place in the league. But he's been terrific this past year, and that's Tegan Horde at Central Valley. He came in the state championship game against Mount Si as a junior, and he started the season as a JV swing player. Really had to earn his stripes in Mike Law's system there at CV. And by season's end, you know, he had 12, 13 points in that state title game. He had some really big shots off the bench, and just to see the ball go in on that stage and be able to pull through, you know, when it really counted for him, that kind of clicked something in his head that, hey, you know, I'm capable of this. It allowed his confidence to meet his work ethic, and he spent the offseason doing kind of what Bilodeau did. And he got in at the U District in Spokane with Eric McClellan. He became more explosive. He plays above the rim. He's a really exciting player. He's averaging like 19 and 10 and has had a couple 30-point games as a senior. And so I have a story coming on him as well, but Tegan Horde, a CV, is going to be my pick. We got the east side of the state covered, Dan.
Yeah, we do have the east side covered. You know, it's one of those interesting things, the dynamic in the state and the perceptions. You know, a lot of times east side coaches and athletes and parents don't feel the coverage. They get as much coverage as the west side. And then, you know, the west side feels maybe when there is coverage of east side players and teams, it's overblown and they're not quite as good as the teams on the west side. So it's an interesting, delicate balance that you and Todd definitely have to kind of navigate through every single season. But I will say this, there is a ton of talent throughout the state, regardless of West Side, East Side, you know, down south in Washington, in Vancouver, or in the Tri-Cities area. And we just need to continue to celebrate these athletes, because everything that they've done over these last 15 months or so with the COVID guidelines, restrictions, and everything that they've been through, and now getting a chance, putting their talents and abilities on display, has been so fun to watch through the lens of what you and Todd are doing. So thank you for that.
Well, it's a lot of fun to do. And we just named two players. And of course, there's so many more. And so if you, the listener, have another suggestion of somebody you think has been the breakout player of the spring, hit us up on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram. And we'd love to hear it. We'll shout it out on the podcast next week. And one of those guys that fits that category, as we've mentioned a few times, is Dennis Kadirich Ingram. He joins me next. Stick with us. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. Welcome back to the SB Live Washington podcast. Andy Bueller here, and joining me, I'm excited for this one, Ingram Jr., Dennis Kadirich. Dennis, man, thanks for taking the time. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know as we record this on Wednesday, you guys are coming off of a tough loss last night to O'Day in the Metro playoff semis. You know, I know you guys thought you had them. You know, you guys were in a good spot to rematch with them. You like your chances. You know, you guys are still in a position to compete for third, which, you know, I think would be a pretty good cap to a pretty impressive season. But how are you feeling at this point of the year, at this point of this shortened season? You got one game left.
I feel pretty good, man. You know, definitely in that L against O'Day last night. But, you know, it is what it is. You take the loss, you move on to the next game. So now Friday, we're looking ahead to play Eastside Catholic. They beat us earlier in the regular season. So it's another game we're really looking forward to. Love to get that win, finish in third place, finish the season strong, and send off our seniors on a good note.
Absolutely, yeah. And coming into this season, on paper, I don't know, and at least, you know, me covering things statewide, I didn't expect you guys to have the season that you did. You know, there was a lot of turnover. You guys have a new coach. I know that Joe's a familiar face, Coach Hardy, having been with the program. But, you know, with the turnover from last year, there were some guys that needed to step up in order to get to where you guys are now, you being one of them. Yeah, how do you feel like this season has gone from that standpoint? Did you enter the season knowing what you guys were capable of? And did you kind of feel the burn to prove yourselves?
Yeah, definitely. I feel a lot of the guys had the burn to want to prove themselves out there. Just from last season, not a lot of guys got the minutes they were hoping to get. And this season, you know, it was kind of like a whole new team, pretty much. We lost seven seniors last year. So all these guys were hungry and they were ready to come out and show what they were able to do. And all offseason, we were just working hard, getting ready, preparing for the season. We knew that we had something big coming. You know, there was never a doubt that we were just going to go and just fold and lose every game or something. You know, we were going to come out and fight hard and try to get every win we could.
Yeah, and you guys, you know, there's no state playoff this year, but if there's ever a league to throw yourself into, you know, a lot of competition, it's the Metro League. But, you know, you guys last year, you know, I felt like if you guys had a couple more games together at full strength with Mitchell back, something would have clicked. You guys could have made a run in the 3A playoffs in the Dome. You know, I obviously fell short in the district tournament, But with all the adversity you guys faced last year, I was always really impressed with the way that, you know, especially with that senior leadership, you guys came together. I know you were, you know, in a different role last year, but what was it like learning from those seniors?
Oh, man, it was one of the best experiences I've ever had with basketball, just to be able to get the knowledge off those guys like Mitchell. You know, like, he's over at St. Mary's now doing his thing, and I just really appreciate all that he was able to do. Mitchell, he was a great help to me. So was Latrell and Kaz, Derek, Tyrell, all those guys. They're all great. And I just really appreciate everything they were able to do for me, just from breaking down the game, showing me little stuff, whatever it was.
It sounds like the way it was described to me was that Latrell really took you under his wing.
Yeah, that's like a big brother to me, man. Like, he's a great person. He helped me out so much. I've known him maybe since like the first grade, maybe even before then.
Oh, wow.
I've just been, yeah. So we've just been coming up together, and it's just been great to work with him and just get better alongside him.
You know, let's rewind a little bit. So, you know, you obviously are you know, one of the great emerging players in the state this year with what you've been able to do and your jump from sophomore to junior year. But, you know, last year you were kind of fringe rotation. You'd come in when Malik and Latrell either were in foul trouble, needed a breather. And, you know, those guys played a lot of minutes too, and shouldered a pretty big load. But even in that role, so you guys go down to the Torrey Pines Holiday Classic, and as a team, you know, you took your lumps. You're still trying to figure out how to play together. You know, from a win-loss standpoint, you might not have got the victories you wanted, but you had an opportunity to go in against Cathedral Catholic. You hit four threes. You got a chance to really prove yourself, you know, on the varsity stage in a competitive tournament like that. Just to see the ball go in the hole and to be able to get that opportunity and capitalize on it, I mean, that had to have helped from a confidence standpoint.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, traveling and playing basketball, it's something I always dreamed about doing. And now to, like, really be in that position to be actually doing that is, it's a dream come true still, but I'm still working. I got bigger goals ahead, you know, but see that ball go in the rim for me, that first shot I made, it was a great feeling of relief, you know, just to see the ball go in the rim. You know, you feel a lot better out there.
So the offseason hits, like you said, you know, maybe there weren't as many minutes going around as people would have liked. How did you approach the offseason? It was obviously a weird year where the world shut down and it was a long offseason, but what was your mentality going into last offseason?
I mean, I knew from the moment the season was, like, maybe with 2 weeks left in the season, my plan going into the offseason was just to get better, come out better than I was last season, just put in all the hard work, grind, stay humble, stay hungry, and then all the work will show off when I get onto the court. And if you remember Kaz Collins from last season, I was with him maybe every day this summer, just putting in two workouts a day, changed up my diet, you know, just trying to get my body right, get better for the season, because I knew I had a big role coming into this season, so I wanted to be prepared for that.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's one thing to go in, especially when you're in the heat of things in the season, and say, you know, hey, this offseason is going to be big for me. It's another thing, I know you grew a little, but you didn't have some, like, 6-inch growth spurt or anything like that. But to be able to hit, you know, hit the ground and really apply, apply yourself to that dream, you know, one piece at a time. That says something that you're able to do that. Cause, you know, talking to coaches, you know, when you guys came in to a team setting for the first time, I know everyone was kind of looking at you going, holy cow. You know, Dennis had himself an off season.
Yeah. yeah, no, man, it's the work. Like I said, if you stay humble, you stay dedicated, you know, it's going to show off in game. And, plan to do the same thing this off season, just work and get better and then come back and have a great senior season.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about what made the biggest difference in the off season. Was there something that you did? Was it a discipline thing? Was it the total body of work? You talk about diet, you talk about, you know, working out, you know, getting in runs. What was the thing? Was there a part of your off season you felt like surprised you that, you know, maybe helped you make the biggest jump?
I mean, I feel like down and better, like, that's all I cared about. Really, like every time I went out there, I was like, I just want to get better. No matter what, just get better. That's what I focused on.
Could you notice it by the time you guys got back in a team setting that you were a different player?
You know, I still definitely need to work on my handle, get my handle stronger, put on some more weight this offseason. I'd say those are my two biggest things. But I was definitely feeling better out there. You know, like my handle did get a little bit tighter, got a better shot. Just all around, I was feeling a better player out there.
I know it's a little bit of a weird offseason. That'd be an understatement. But, you know, you retool your body, you retool your diet, all that, like you're saying. But once you guys get the green light to play and you have this Metro League schedule lined up ahead of you, how did you prepare for the spotlight?
At that point, I think it was just a matter of keeping my body right, you know, taking care of my body, coming out, staying fresh, being prepared for every game, and mentally too, because, you know, it's really a mental thing to go out there and be prepared for every game. And once we saw the schedule, I think everybody knew it was time to really, really lock in and prepare for what we had coming this season, because we knew we could do something big this season. So it was just a matter of locking in and going for it.
As you guys are trying to kind of feel out your roles, you know, it's easy to look at your averaging 17 points, 9 boards, but man, the defensive assignments stand out. You know, last night, O'Day's leading scorer, Max DeBeck, you hold him to 8 points. You know, you held Jalen Stewart to 4 points over the weekend, and you guys beat Garfield. You know, Arizona-bound Shea Noel, 8 points. Tyler Maroos, 7 points. You know, that's no joke. You know, those are players that are going to be playing at a pretty high level. How much pride have you taken in being your team's shutdown defender?
Oh, I take the most pride in that. Filming stuff, just trying to find out what the best matchup is for me and how we can slow down their offense the most. And, you know, I always want to be on the best player they got out there, whoever it is, whoever their main guy is. You know, I want to get on them and just try and shut them down completely. So, you know, whether it's Shane, Jalen, whoever, I just want to go out there and compete and just do my best to stop them from scoring.
Yeah, does that come from you first? I mean, are you going to coaches and saying, no, I got him? Or are they drawing you up in the game plan? Like, where did that come from?
I mean, I just want to play against the best talent, you know, like Shane, I know he's going to Arizona. Jalen, he's got a few D1 offers, you know. Max, he's a great player. He's going to UW for baseball. So I really just, I want to guard the best every time. Like, I'll tell my coach, just put me on whoever they're better. I want to go out the best, compete with the best. That's how you get better.
Yeah, no, I know you've turned some heads this season. Your name's starting to get out there a little bit. Recruiting, I know you got a big summer with Rotary ahead, but are you starting to hear from more schools?
Yeah, I've heard a few schools. You know, nothing big, nothing crazy, but a few colleges here and there. But that's senior season as well.
Yeah, okay, I have to ask. So Javon was on our media day interview with Coach Hardy before the season. And, you know, he took his whole approach pretty seriously. You strike me as a pretty serious guy. Do you guys have anyone on the team that keeps it light, that's a jokester?
I mean, we got a few guys like that. My guy Henry, one of our seniors, he's just one of the funniest guys to talk to. We got my boy Elias too. We got a lot of funny guys on the team, man. But when it's time to lock in, you know, everybody will lock in and we'll do what we need to do.
How has this group come together? Because you were pretty close with that senior class last year. You know, you may as well have been a part of that class. Did that make you step into this season as kind of a natural leader?
Knew I was going to have to take more of the leader role this season, as well as Javon. And with the seniors going, you know, it was bittersweet, you know, to see them going off, but I knew that now it's my time to step up and, you know, be my own leader and lead these guys. So it was a good thing, you know, like having the seniors around, I appreciated what they were able to do and what they were able to show me. And then I was.
Yeah. As you kind of set goals for this upcoming off season, what's the next step in Dennis Kadirich's game? You know, last year you transformed yourself, your body and everything. What's next?
I'd say now, just really focusing on my skills, you know, getting my handle tighter, getting a lot bigger. You know, that's, I'd say that's really my number one thing right now, is just putting on some size. I'm real skinny right now, so I just want to get bigger and put on some more size. But yeah, all around, I'm going to be working on everything, but the handles and putting on some weight, I'd say those are my two biggest things.
Well, looking forward to seeing you guys finish out this season strong. As we record this, you have your guys' last game of the season. That's a third place game against Eastside Catholic. That'll be on Friday. Dennis, man, I appreciate you joining the podcast. Thanks for your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, man.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.